at this time with humble and thankful hearts, thankful for the privilege of being gathered together here with those of like precious faith to share the experiences and the blessings of this way together, to soak in the lessons and the truths that thou hast for us at this convention. With this in mind, dear Lord, we ask thy special blessing, thy strength and thy spirit to be upon Brother McNee as he ministers unto us, that he may be led and strengthened and guided by thee. Dear Lord, we seek forgiveness for anything said or done amiss, and leave this hour now in thy care and keeping. In Jesus' name.
Thank you, Brother Bill. Sister Grace Hugelman of Springfield had requested that her love be extended to each one of you here at the convention. Brother Wolf McNee of Canada, always glad to have him and Sister Berna in our midst. Appreciate his service through the years, his devotion to the Lord. He's going to speak to us on the subject, the land. Land is what you farm on, the land. Brother Wolf McNee, the Lord bless you.
Thank you, Brother Taz. Good afternoon, brethren. We're happy to see you all this afternoon. And I usually take too much time or too much to say, and I don't have enough time to say it. And for a fellow that's kind of short on what to say, that seems peculiar. I would like first of all to say, though, that all the brethren probably that you know from Vancouver on down, Bellingham and Seattle and otherwise, these brethren all send their Christian love and greetings to you. And I should mention especially Brother Charlie and Sister Ruth, because they wanted to especially be remembered to quite a number of you by name. And I think Sister Berna has most of the details along that line, and I'm going to leave it to her to look after that. Well, the subject is this land, or the land, or just land if you wish. Recently, the words of a song that I had heard being sung by different groups of people over the past few years, it came to mind, and it impressed me because there are so many issues that are being raised up by the peoples of the world, and they want answers. The following is just a small portion of the song, but will suffice for the present purpose. This land is your land. This land is my land. This land was made for you and me. Now that's just the words I'm quoting. So I'm going to make a few jumps as we go along, and we think that we have some scriptural answers to this perplexing question. We pause for a moment to consider the text of Genesis 10:31-32. These are the sons of Shem, after their families, after their tongues, in their lands, after their nations. These are the families of Noah, after their generations, in their nations, and by these were the nations divided in the earth after the flood. Rotherham translates the last part of verse 32, from them, the sons of Noah, were dispersed the nations in the earth after the flood. This is a statement which is repeated several times, as for instance in Deuteronomy 32:8, when the Most High divided to the nations their inheritance, when he separated the sons of Adam, he set the bounds of the people according to the number of the children of Israel. Genesis 12:7, and the Lord appeared unto Abram and said, unto thy seed will I give this land. This same thought is repeated and expanded in Genesis 13:14-17. Lift up now thine eyes and look from the place where you are, northward and southward and eastward and westward, for all the land which you see, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed forever. And I will make thy seed as the dust of the earth, so that if a man can number the dust of the earth, then shall thy seed also be numbered. Arise, walk through the land in the length of it and to the breadth of it, for I will give it unto you. Genesis 15:6-9. And he believed in the Lord, and he counted it to him for righteousness. And he said unto him, I am the Lord that brought you out of Ur of the Chaldees to give thee this land to inherit it. And he said, Lord God, whereby shall I know that I shall inherit it? And he said unto him, Take me an heifer of 3 years old, and a she-goat of 3 years old, and a ram of 3 years old, and a turtle dove, and a young pigeon. These were handled in a certain fashion, and when the ceremony was completed, it became an oath. Therefore, the fact that God had bound himself to bless Abraham and his seed by his word, then he takes an oath, understandable by Abraham, that he will bring to pass the conditions of this covenant. The question by Abraham, whereby shall I know that I shall inherit it? And as stated in the reprints on page 3945, column 2, paragraph 1, O Lord God, whereby shall I know that I shall inherit it? What outward signs and evidences will help my faith to grasp these great promises you have made to me, and which I thoroughly believe? Also, a reference in 5178, column 2, paragraph 7. Genesis 15:8. In the same day the Lord made a covenant with Abraham, saying, Unto thy seed have I given this land, from the river of Egypt to the great river, the river Euphrates. It was the north boundary that is talked about with regard to the Euphrates River. Genesis 13:14-17. And the Lord said unto Abram, after that Lot was separated from him, Lift up now thine eye, and look from the place wherein you are, northward, and southward, and eastward, and westward, for all the land that you see, to you will I give it, and to your seed forever. And I will make your seed as the dust of the earth, so that if a man can number the dust of the earth, then shall your seed be numbered also. Arise, walk through the land in the length of it and in the breadth of it, for I will give it unto you. At this point, we think that it would be appropriate to point out a lesson found in the fourth chapter of Ruth. In this very beautiful story, we are reminded of the events in the lives of Naomi and Ruth. The first relationship required a kinsman redeemer to buy back Naomi's inheritance. As the story unfolded, it became clear that Boaz would be the kinsman redeemer. And the means that was employed to bring forth the settlement satisfactory to all, Boaz received his older brother's shoe as a token that made it a legal arrangement transferring the properties of the inheritance to the new owner, Boaz. Strong 5274 suggests it as a symbol of occupancy. Another source suggests the right to walk on one's property. Jesus' sacrifice gained the right to release and the right to perfect human life. Could we suggest that this would also mean that it gave Jesus the right to wear the shoe? And may we also suggest that our Lord will give back the shoe? the dominion of earth for Adam, that is, this shoe, was to represent the dominion of earth, and for Adam to wear the shoe by the end of the kingdom, that is. Thus, the purchased possession will be restored to Adam and his wife, Eve, and all their children. And there are several good references on this subject on volume 5, page 135, 152, and 153. I've got E, that's the fifth volume, isn't it? My alphabet and my numbers are connecting there. Leviticus 25, 9 and 10. Then shalt thou cause the trumpet of the Jubilee to sound on the 10th day of the 7th month, on the Day of Atonement. Shall you make the trumpet sound throughout all your land. And you shall hallow the 50th year and proclaim liberty throughout all the land until all the inhabitants thereof. It shall be a jubilee unto you, and you shall return every person unto his family. In Acts 17:26, and hath made of one blood all the nations of men for to dwell on all the face of the earth, and hath determined the times before appointed and the bounds of their habitation. We are all familiar with the account in the scriptures of God's care over the children of Israel for leaving Egypt and then to dwell in the wilderness for 40 years before moving out across the Jordan River and entering into the promised land, where they were to destroy the inhabitants of the land. The time had come to dislodge this people, which would have been premature at the time that Abraham dwelled in the land. In Acts 13:19, and when he had destroyed seven nations in the land of Canaan, he divided their land to them by lot. The time having now come for Israel to enter the promised land, we turn to the book of Joshua to see how the Lord paved the way. Joshua 1, verse 3, every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that hath he given to you. Again, we are presented with the thought that Joshua had the right, by God's authority, to walk throughout the land. There are some interesting passages of Scripture which set out the boundaries of this land as they will be in the future. We think there are certain scriptures in the Bible which are, we might classify as keys. No, key unlocks a door or something like that. Well, these are key texts which unopen the thoughts that the Lord has in these various key scriptures. Now, I don't pretend to be an expert on this. In fact, I don't really know why the Lord used this means. I'm only passing on to you the fact that he did, I believe. There are a number of lists of the 12 tribes of Israel, as, for instance, Numbers 34 and 35. Then again, we find lists in Ezekiel 47:21. So shall you divide this land unto you according to the tribes of Israel. Again, in Ezekiel 48:29. This is the land which you shall divide by lot unto the tribes of Israel for inheritance, and these are their portions, saith the Lord. There is a reprint article about the promised land with its boundaries and portions on page 4060, entitled Be Strong and of Good Courage, and page 4063, Entering the Land of Promise. We will quote some passages from the first article, starting with 4061, column 1, paragraph 3 and 4. Next, the Lord outlined the promised land in Joshua 1:4 and practically gave the very boundaries which subsequently marked the possession of Israel at the close of David's reign and throughout that of Solomon, from the Arabian wilderness on the south and Mount Lebanon to the river Euphrates on the north and the Mediterranean on the west. This definiteness in statement of the boundaries should prove strengthening to faith and would indicate to them clearly when they had attained possession of all that the Lord had given them. We may reasonably suppose that had their faith and courage been equal to the task, they would have been capable of taking possession of that land promptly, but as it was, they took possession of only a portion, and Amalekites and Canaanites still dwelt with them in the land and subsequently gave them a good deal of trouble. Some have used this as an illustration of how the Christian's full consecration means the surrender of everything to the Lord, that His Spirit and His will may have full control in our bodies and spirits, which are His. In proportion as we have faith and avail ourselves of the Lord's assistance, we may equally take possession of our mortal bodies and transfer our talents to the service of the Lord and His cause. But if through fear or sympathy with sin we permit the will of the flesh to dominate us here and there in this or that or the other affair of life, we will always have trouble in proportion. The sins and weaknesses which we fail to fight against will be sure eventually to fight against us and to injure us as new creatures. Hence our consecration and our faith should be so full and so strong that we would fight a good fight against sin and meanness in every avenue of our natures and in our sentiments, at last bringing every power of our nature into captivity to God. In proportion as this new mind fails to take possession of the mortal body and to rule it, in that proportion will we be weak when we should be strong, troubled when we should have peace, and overcharged and ensnared when we should have the full smile, that's when we should have the full smile of God's favor. I don't notice that I put a reference there. Maybe that's still part of 4061. Joshua 1:6-9. Be strong and of good courage, for unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth. Thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that you observe to do according to all that is written. Genesis 28:14. And thy seed shall be as the dust of the earth, and you shall spread abroad to the west and to the east and to the north and to the south. In thee and in thy seed shall all the families be blessed. Again, in Genesis 26:3-4, sojourn in this land, and I will be with thee, and will bless you. For unto you and to thy seed I will give all these countries, and I will perform the oath which I swear unto Abraham thy father. And I will make thy seed to multiply as the stars of heaven, and will give unto thy seed all these countries, and in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. From these scriptures, we confirm that the result of the promise made to Abraham would be in the blessing of all the families of the earth, which would be the sand seed, and the work of restoring and blessing to be accomplished in the earth would be by the star seed or heavenly seed, which would constitute the ruling powers of earth. We will tie this in with Galatians 3:16, 28, and 29. Now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. He says not unto seeds as for many, but as of one, and to thy seed, which is Christ. And if you be Christ, then are you Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. These promises were made thousands of years ago, and the children of Israel have been scattered throughout the earth for the last nearly 2,000 years. The Lord had promised them his blessings if they would be obedient. But if not, then he would scatter them over the earth until they had learned the lesson. Jeremiah 16:18. First I will recompense their iniquity and their sin double. Because they have defiled my land, they have filled mine inheritance with unacceptable things. The period of their favor extended from the death of Jacob to the end of favor shown to them by the 70 weeks prophecy, AD 33. Adding the two figures together gives us 1845 years. Therefore, an equal period of disfavor would be 1845 years from the first advent until 1878 AD. Zechariah 9:12. Turn you to the stronghold, ye prisoners of hope. Even today do I declare that I will render double to you. This is the turning point. At the first advent, when the double of disfavor began. The end of the double took place at 1878 A.D. As noted in Isaiah 40, verse 2, speak ye comfortably to Jerusalem, and cry unto her that her warfare is accomplished, and that her iniquity is pardoned, for she hath received of the Lord's hand double for all her sins. Now that Israel had received this punishment for her iniquities, it was time to see some favor from the Lord's hand. In Leviticus 26:42, then will I remember my covenant with Jacob, and also my covenant with Isaac, and also my covenant with Abraham will I remember, and I will remember the land. Israel had never been able to buy land in their endeavors to resettle in Palestine, mostly because of the Turkish influence. The year 1878 was a turning point in Israel's affairs, assisted by the outcome of the Berlin Congress of Nations, which brought about the improvement in Jewish affairs, and this was achieved by Benjamin Disraeli, the first and only Jewish prime minister that Britain ever had. The formation of the Zionist movement also, and some influence in connection with the Jew and his homeland. Toward the end of World War I, there was another meeting of the powers in that area, which formulated the Balfour Declaration, which greatly ameliorated the condition of the Jew in Palestine. In Volume 2, page 221, we read in paragraph 2 that we must remember that the year AD 1878 was but the turning point of returning favor to fleshly Israel. We will not go into a detailed analysis of the affairs of the Jew, but will merely say that there were many suggestions as to where to send them. The British mandate to control Palestine was to expire in 1948, and there was to be expected that the competition would be great between the great powers interested in acquiring this ancient land. In the gathering clamor, an historic figure steps forward and declares, "The land is mine." And when the powers turn to look at the speaker, They recognize the Jew, the child of the patriarch who lived in Palestine when it was first invaded, and who would himself fain be present to receive it as his own when its possession is disputed more than 36 centuries after. Volume 3, page 263, paragraph 1, and page 265, also paragraph 1. Jeremiah 32:37-44. Behold, I will gather them out of all countries whither I have driven them. In mine anger, and in my fury, and in great wrath, and I will bring them again into this place, and I will cause to dwell safely. And they shall be my people, and I will be their God. And I will give them one heart and one way, that they may fear me forever, for the good of them and of their children after them. And I will make an everlasting covenant with them, that I will not turn away from them to do them good, but I will put my fear in their hearts, that they shall not depart from them. Yea, I will rejoice over them to do them good, and I will plant them in this land, saith the Lord. Like as I have brought all this great evil upon you, so will bring upon them all the good that I have promised them. And fields shall be bought in this land, wherever you say, it is desolate without man or beast. It is given into the hands of the Chaldeans. Men shall buy fields for money, and subscribe evidences, and seal them, and take witnesses in this land of Benjamin, and in the places about Jerusalem, and in the cities of Judah, and in the cities of the mountains, and in the cities of the valley, and in the cities of the south. For I will cause their captivity to return, saith the Lord. This word captivity has the meaning of a former state of prosperity. That's one of the meanings that Strong gives, and that's the one I like best. So it has the meaning of a former state of prosperity, and refer to Jeremiah 30, verse 18, and Joel 3, 1 and 2. And there's quite a number of other references, but I think this is enough. This former prosperity, when Israel was in captivity, in covenant relationship to God. So as you think about it, the time when they were their greatest zenith of power, and it was because they were in a state of prosperity under the bonds of the law covenant. Ezekiel 37:12-14. And you shall know that I am the Lord when I have opened your graves, O my people, and brought you out of the graves, and shall put my spirit in you, and you shall live, and I will place you in your own land. Then shall you know that I, the Lord, have spoken it and performed it, saith the Lord. Genesis 26:4. And I will make thy seed to multiply as the stars of heaven, and I will give unto thy seed all these countries, and in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. Jeremiah 16:15. The Lord lives that brought us up the children of Israel from the land of the north and from all the lands whither he had driven them, and I will bring them again into their land that I gave to their fathers. You know that the land is very important to our Heavenly Father, and he had to chastise the Israelites for their lack of attention to the care of the land. 2 Chronicles 36:21. To fulfill the word of the Lord by the mouth of Jeremiah, until the land had enjoyed her Sabbath, for as long as she lay desolate, she kept Sabbath, to fulfill 70 years. The doubles of favor and disfavor, which brings us to the date of 1878, when God's favor was to return to natural Israel, has not yet witnessed the full return of favor. As previously noted, this date became a turning point, and the events which have come upon Israel prove that God is indeed working out their affairs to bring about their restoration to his favor. The unmistakable proof that this is so is that Israel has now become a nation under God's providences in May of 1948, 70 years beyond the date when God's returning favor was due. More time has elapsed and Israel has not yet returned to full favor with God. Even though more than 40 years has gone by since 1948, we are of the opinion that there are several reasons why this is so. The most important reason is that spiritual Israel has not yet been completed, and the earthly phase of the kingdom cannot commence until all the members of the Lord's body have been glorified. This talk has to do with the earthly phase and the importance of the land in connection with the final establishment of the kingdom in the earth. Going back into the history of Israel, we remember that God led the Israelites out of Egypt into the promised land of Canaan. The blood of the Lamb preserved the firstborn. The Lord arranged the affairs of Israel so that these firstborns were exchanged for the tribe of Levi. This tribe was to have no inheritance in the land and were to be responsible for the care of the tabernacle. It is important to realize that these typify those of the gospel age who will receive spirit nature and therefore do not share in the dividing of the land or the earthly phase of the kingdom. I'm going to skip a few. I'll just cite the numbers as we go past them. Numbers 2:33, Numbers 8:11. And I'll read Numbers 18 and 20. And the Lord spake unto Aaron, thou shalt have no inheritance in their land, neither shalt thou have any part among them. I am the Lord, and thine inheritance among the children of Israel. Verse 23, but the Levites shall do the service of the tabernacle of the congregation, and they shall bear their iniquity. It shall be for a statute forever throughout their generations, that among the children of Israel they have no inheritance. Reprints 2:4, 4:2, paragraphs 8 and 9, and 4:6, 5:4, column 2, verse 4. I don't know whether I stated that first one right or not. I'll repeat it. 2:4, 4:2. I think it's just paragraphs 8 and 9 which would put it into the first column. The Gentiles were called to fill up the number required for the 12 spiritual tribes. The royal priesthood may be divided into 12 different classes. Tribes had different standings as shown in the prophecies respecting them. So there is seemingly quite a possibility that there will be 12 different stations or ranks among the saints. I've got a note here to read this, but I don't have time. So I'll give you the citations. Ezekiel 48, verse 29, it starts out, this is the land. Ezekiel 47, 21, so shall you divide this land. Acts 17, 26. I'll leave that for your reference. Isaiah 2:2-4, and it shall come to pass in the last days that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established in the top of the mountains and shall be exalted above the hills, and all nations shall flow into it. And I think you're familiar with the balance of that, that the law shall go forth from Zion and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. And so on. Now I'll try quickly to read the next four. Genesis 10:31-32. Families of the sons of Noah after their generations in their nations, and by these were the nations divided in the earth after the flood. Deuteronomy 32:8, and this was a text that has been bothering me for the last several years because I couldn't find exactly what it meant, and nobody seemed to have thought of that point either, so I hope I have gotten a thought from it which may be helpful. When the Most High divided to the nations their inheritance, when he separated the sons of Adam, he set the bounds of the people according to the numbers of the children of Israel. Ezekiel 47:2, so shall you divide this land unto you according to the tribes of Israel. Ezekiel 48:29, this is the land which you shall divide by lot unto the tribes of Israel for inheritance, and these are their portions, saith the Lord. God has arranged in his plan for the settling of the nation of Israel in the promised land. Each tribe was to give a specific area of land, divided by lot, and that was to be their inheritance. When the land was being divided, Caleb spoke of Moses as his inheritance. And Joshua 14:9, Moses swore on that day, saying, surely the land whereon thy feet have trodden shall be thine inheritance and thy children forever, because thou hast wholly followed the Lord thy God. And so Joshua arranged for Caleb's inheritance. Now let us pick up the thread here in 1988. The nation of Israel is still, though with many difficulties, occupying her land that God had promised to Israel, first to Abraham, then to Isaac and Jacob. And Israel is pictured as a fig tree. The narrative in Mark 11:13, and I think that I'll just go down toward the end of this paragraph. This is like Israel was at our Lord's first advent. Hence, the propriety of the double of God's disfavor beginning at that time. The Diaglot renders Mark 11:13. Not yet the season for gathering, but having leaves, it should have fruit, therefore it was barren. Because evidently the fruit starts before the leaves show. In Luke 21, we read the various conditions which will make it evident that the kingdom is near. Verse 28, when these things begin to come to pass, then look up and lift up your heads, for your deliverance draws nigh. Verse 29, and he spake to them a parable, behold the fig tree and all the trees. Verse 30, when they now shoot forth, you see and know of your own selves that summer is nigh at hand. We think that this fig tree represents the nation of Israel. The ending of the double has given many occasions for Israel to grasp the promise and to grasp the reality that Israel is a nation with her own land, as has not been the case for nearly 2,000 years. What we have seen happening to Israel is also the desire of many of the peoples, these other trees, and most of them are small, but their voices are getting louder and louder. To mention a few, there is the Philippines, Haiti, Central America, then the many small nations of Africa, Southeast Asia. You read anything about this in the newspaper lately? The Near East, we find Israel at the center of the problems of the Arabs in Jordan, Lebanon, and Syria. There's Afghanistan, and I'll stop there. Their claims are legitimate. They have a claim on the nations for help. Micah 4:4, they shall sit every man under his vine and under his fig tree, and none shall make them afraid, for the mouth of the Lord of hosts has spoken it. We may not be too sure just how literal this will be, that every member of the human race will have his own little plot of land to live upon. We can only take the example of what has been revealed. Evidently, the Lord has some definite plans as to the dividing of the land of Israel by tribe and individually also. We are inclined to think that the nations and peoples of the whole world will eventually receive their inheritance of the land with the pattern of Israel to use in working it out. Ezekiel 47:2, so shall you divide this land unto you according to the tribes of Israel. And here's the sticker, Deuteronomy 32:8. When the Most High divided to the nations their inheritance, and when he separated the sons of Adam, he set the bounds of the people according to the numbers of the children of Israel. With these thoughts in mind, we will rehearse God's dealing with Israel. The double of disfavor ended in 1878. The favor of God was due to return. We have noted some of the signs of this returning favor and have noted the reestablishment in 1948. And May of 1988 celebrated her 40th birthday. Beat 221, Volume 2. We must remember that the year 1878 was but the turning point of returning favor to fleshly Israel. There may be only one more before the full favor of God returns to Israel, and that is Jacob's trouble. Israel will then recognize God's hand in her affairs and quickly fall in line with a new government. And the ancient worthies will be coming back on the scene. That is, after the church is all glorified, then it will be due for them to come manifest themselves in the earth to take charge. How many years will pass beyond 1988 for natural Israel is restored to the full favor of God, we do not know. But we'll have to wait on the Lord. So I'm leaving you the text that Brother Len suggested to us about patience, Psalm 27:14, wait on the Lord. Psalm 37:34, wait on the Lord. And Isaiah 66:1, thus saith the Lord, the heaven is my throne, the earth is my footstool. Isaiah 60:13, I will make the place of my feet glorious. Sorry, brethren, I transgressed a little bit on the time, but I was so impressed with the thoughts of that are contained in this land, how important it is to God to divide up this earthly inheritance with His restored human race to their best advantage, and that's His blessing for them. Thank you. And the Lord bless you. Thank you, Dennis, for being so indulgent.
Oh, thank you, Brother Wilf. 40th anniversary of the founding of the nation of Israel as a state again. Who knows what will develop? We're all interested. We'll watch and see, Brother Wilf, as you said. The land, a vital subject to us. Brother Wilf has suggested we close with number 214, same hymn, the second and third verse. Let's go with the third verse. We'll go with verse 3 of 214, and we'd ask you to be back in your seats half hour hence after your fellowship for our next service. 214, the last verse, please.
Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy gracious, holy, and blessed name. We're so appreciative, dear Father, that you have opened our hearts and minds to understand something of this plan of the ages, this word of truth, way to understand thy word through the ministry of that wise and faithful servant. We appreciate his part to play in bringing these things to our minds in a way that we can understand them. That Father Abraham wanted an understanding. So we pray thine indulgence in our slow learning and pray that you would grant us strength of mind and body to be filled with thy spirit and thy truth and be able to be a help and a blessing to those about us. And we pray indeed, may thy kingdom soon be fully established in all the earth. And the desire of all nations shall come, and we will have that desire of our own to be with our Lord Jesus and share with him in the great work of thy kingdom. Hear our pleas and bless those who are sick or going through difficulties and hardships, and we thank and praise thee in Jesus' name. Amen.
McNee was younger, he used to sing solos for us, and I'm going to add one to this talk. It was done some years before this talk was given.
Now, dear friends, we are in for a surprise. Our brother Wolf McNee will sing a solo, and the song which he has chosen is The Holy City, and he will be accompanied at the piano by Brother Bob Wiesner. Brother Wolf McNee.
Long more, not so long and still. was changed, new world.